Whammy Radio continues.
I am the Whammy Giveaway, and this is the Eric Pincus Report. Basketball Insider's contributor and Los Angeles Times beat writer for the Lakers, Eric Pincus, is here to go over the Los Angeles Clippers' salary cap and financial future. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How does it feel to have a segment named after you?
That's pretty nice. Thank you.
For the first time ever, the Clippers are going to be a luxury tax team. They're slightly over the cap, hard cap to be exact, but they're first-timers, so the penalties won't be as severe, or so it seems. What's the prognosis of their salary cap?
Well, the Clippers have a hard cap, but they're not over the hard cap. You can't go over a hard cap. And the reason they have a hard cap is because of some of the trades that they made over the offseason, specifically a sign-in trade with J.J. Redick to get J.J. Redick. So there's a limit to what the Clippers can spend. They can spend up to $75.7 million, and they're at about $73 million, roughly. So they're safe, but they are a taxpayer, and it's the first time in franchise history. And this is a team that's willing to spend to try to win a title. We'll see if they can get it done.
In the past, Donald Sterling has never been one to pay the piper. On the other hand, his friend, the late great Dr. Jerry Buss, opted to spend, spend, and spend to his heart's desire year after year after year. And it goes on like this. Give us a brief financial comparison between Dr. Buss and Mr. Sterling. What has Sterling learned from his years of frugality as a sports owner? What did he learn from Dr. Buss?
Well, you look at the Clippers, and before they moved to the Staples Center, the Clippers were frugal. They didn't spend a lot of money, and they didn't have any real success. And then when they moved to the Staples Center, it changed their economics. And so gradually over time, they tried to invest in a team that would win. And they had a successful run with Elton Brand and Chris Kaman and Corey Maggette and Sam Cassell, all those guys. But at that time, they had made huge offers to Kobe Bryant, to Gilbert Arenas, to Ray Allen. So the Clippers have been trying to go this route for a long time. They just haven't had the opportunity to spend because they just didn't have the right options. They didn't have the right talent. And then, of course, they managed to get Chris Paul and Doc Rivers now and Blake Griffin, and they spent on DeAndre Jordan. They've done a credible job of investing in a franchise, which is what you're supposed to do when you've got a chance to win a title. And the Lakers just don't spend money. The Lakers have spent money. They've had some down years with money where they've spent not as much as, you know, they've not been a taxpayer. But most of the time they're in that. But typically a team will spend money when they believe they have a chance to win. And that's where the Clippers are right now. And that's what they should be doing.
When would you say Sterling officially committed to paying and going all in on the tax zone? I'll give you three scenarios. A, the 2006 NBA playoffs that featured Sam Cassell and Elton Brand. B, Blake Griffin's breakout performance in the 2010-11 season. C, the passing of Oakland Raiders owner Al Davis during the NBA lockout, which led to the trade for Chris Paul, the vetoed Lakers trade.
What led to the Clippers going over the tax was the opportunity this year to build a team. This is the first year. If you're talking about the opportunity to spend and the investment, the decision to invest in this team was made a long time ago. So it'd really be A, when they invested in the Elton Brand era, because the Clippers were ready to win. It just didn't last. The next year after they went to the playoffs, the team was kind of broken down and injured, and it just didn't work out. But that was a team that was willing to spend. As I mentioned, they put a lot of money on the table for Kobe Bryant. They put a lot of money on the table for Ray Allen and Gilbert Arenas. So this is not a team that played out of the sports arena, that didn't really invest in the winning product. They've been trying to do this for a very long time now, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 14 years. It just took a long time for them to find the right combination. In the last 2 years, they've had a lot of success since getting Chris Paul. But now investing in a coach like Doc Rivers, they hope that this is the difference and that this is their year.
The 2013-14 offseason for the Clippers was the greatest in their franchise history in that they traded for a coach. It took a future first-round draft pick for the Boston Celtics to release Doc Rivers from his non-compete clause. But in the process, both teams forfeited their rights to trade amongst each other for the remainder of the season. Tell us about the first ever NBA gag order. How did it happen and why?
Basically, the way that it was leaked at the time, and the Clippers really didn't deny it, and both teams really were somewhat open about it, they're trying to make a deal that included DeAndre Jordan being swapped for Kevin Garnett along with Doc Rivers. When they came to an agreement, the two teams, the league looked at it and said, that doesn't work. It's not legal to include a coach in a trade with players. It breaks every rule that's in the book as far as you can only trade a player for a player. You can't, it just doesn't work. It's illegal. So because of that, they voided and vetoed any sort of deal that was going to happen. But then the Clippers and the Celtics got back together. The league got involved and they talked. And they came up with a compromise, which was that they could get Doc Rivers, but they can't make any trades for a full year. They can't have any sort of negotiation for a full year on anything like that. So now that year is almost over. We'll get to the summer and it'll be on. And if they want to make a deal at that point, that's fine. But I don't see what deal the Clippers and the Celtics would make. And Kevin Garnett is now in Brooklyn. So it's a lot of water under the bridge. But it's an interesting experience. The Clippers, I'm not sure if they anticipated they would have this problem. But my understanding, they expected if there was some sort of issue with the league, that it wouldn't be quite as severe as it was. But that's the choice the league made. And I understand it, because really what they were doing, it wasn't in the rules. It clearly was a violation.
Does this now mean that if a team were to ever trade for a coach, would they be subjected to the same gag order that the Clippers and Celtics went through this season?
Not necessarily. I mean, the league saw that they had some prearranged discussions. They had deals that were already in place. And so it didn't make sense to say, no, you can't make that. And then the Clippers get a deal for Doc Rivers and then 5 minutes later make the same deal that the league just said you can't make. So they basically put that in just so that they couldn't circumvent what the league had decreed. And so I don't know if that would come up again. It's certainly possible, but I would imagine that teams will have learned from this experience and will not put themselves in that position. So they would make the deal for the coach, and then later they would make a deal for players. And I don't know if the league would do anything about it, but it's just the circumstance of how this one went down. They did not want the Clippers and the Celtics to circumvent that.
Depending on how the Clippers fare in the playoffs, we might see radical changes in the roster next season. Jamal Crawford's contract is set to go unguaranteed. Jared Dudley hasn't performed well. Hedo Turkoglu, Ryan Hollins, Danny Granger, Big Baby Glenn Davis, they're all one-year veterans minimums. DeAndre Jordan becomes an expiring contract. The roster could be a clean slate next season. Who stays? Who goes?
Oh, I don't know if it's fair to say that it's a clean slate. They're going to have Chris Paul back, Blake Griffin. The Clippers are thrilled with the performance of DeAndre Jordan. I can't imagine why they would deal him. J.J. Redick is under contract. Jared Dudley, yeah, he has not performed well, and if they could trade him, perhaps they would, but he's under contract for $4.5 million, roughly. Matt Barnes is under contract. Reggie Bullock is under contract. Darren Collison will likely opt out. I don't imagine why they would get rid of Jamal Crawford, because he's played exceptionally well for them. $5.5 million is a good price. Doesn't make sense to make a deal in my mind for a guy who's been a vital part of what they've done. Willie Green likely won't be back. I can't imagine him back. It's possible. Glenn Davis, I don't expect back. Danny Granger will likely look for more money elsewhere, but you never know. The Clippers will have about $3 million to spend. They're taxpayers, so they're going to have a mid-level exception, probably a smaller one, but it depends on a number of options. But I wouldn't call it a clean slate. You might lose some of the role players like a Ryan Hollins or a Hedo Turkoglu, but I don't think those are instrumental players, and at least half the roster is going to be back.
The 2014-15 offseason is going to be quite the summer. This year's draft features the likes of Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, and Julius Randle, but the Clippers have a late pick in the first round that could notch them down all the way to last, if the Clippers win the title. Some names that got in various mock drafts were Zach LaVine, Adrian Payne, Jordan Adams, Jarnell Stokes, Nick Johnson, Mitch McGarry, Jusuf Nurkić. Who could you see the Clippers picking up in the NBA draft?
Well, it's always tricky to project that far down, and we'll know in the next few hours everybody who declares, because it's the deadline for the NCAA. Zach LaVine is a UCLA product, super athlete, very raw, needs some time, but he would be an interesting pick. You can argue if Collison's going to leave, that Shabazz Napier would be a really nice get. Backup Chris Paul. You can make an argument for Patrick Young out of Florida, and certainly Adrian Payne if he falls that low. We won't know until the draft. The draft is always such a fun, crazy night. You just have to wait and see, but there's plenty of talent. In this draft, where the Clippers are, which is roughly 28, they're not likely to get anywhere close to a Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins. But if you can get a nice role player, that's always a positive, especially for a team that's a tax team that doesn't have a lot of options when it comes to adding a player.
Then there's free agency. Many big names will be out there for the Clippers to look into, but the ones we're really interested in are LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony. Of course, there's Greg Monroe, Chris Bosh, Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan, Luol Deng, but James and Melo are the big ones. As we all know, in 2007, Doc Rivers and Danny Ainge came up with a farm trade and reeled in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to the Celtics. But Doc seems to go after players who have never won a ring. Could you see history repeating itself and Doc trading the farm to get one more superstar to pair up with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan?
I think it's a fun story and a lot of people chase it, but I don't see any validity or anything going on there. I don't see how the Clippers are not going to trade Chris Paul. They're not going to trade Blake Griffin. And I don't see them trading even DeAndre Jordan. I don't understand how you would get Carmelo Anthony or why you would want Carmelo Anthony, because Blake Griffin is better than Carmelo Anthony at this point. LeBron James may be the best player in the league, but I don't understand why you make that switch. It just doesn't really add up. I don't see why LeBron James leaves Miami to come to the Clippers in exchange for Blake Griffin. It just doesn't add up. I don't really anticipate the Clippers being a big player in any sort of free agency deal with a big name. It's always possible they can make a deal. Let's see what the Clippers do, because if they win a title this year, I don't know how much they want to change. Usually you want to have the same roster and bring back add one or two veterans and make the team a little bit better. But I don't know. Obviously, winning a title is a long shot for any team almost, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Which role player do you see the Clippers picking up next season? Maybe somebody to replace with some of the current players possibly leaving? Who do you see?
That's a tough one. I haven't put a lot of thought into it, because what happens first is you have a bunch of teams that have spending power, a lot of spending power, and the best free agents go there. And then you have teams that have mid-level money, $5, $6 million to spend, and then the next best players go there. And then you have teams that have $2, $3 million to spend. And so gradually, when you get to teams like the Clippers that really don't have much to offer, players go for the money typically before they go for the championship chance. It could be something as simple as keeping Danny Granger if he is a part of their playoff run. That might be all the money that they have to spend is in someone like Granger. The Clippers, if they can keep Collison and Granger, they're fine. I mean, I don't see really where else you go. I know that they had some interest in Iman Shumpert with New York, but we don't know what the Knicks are going to do with Phil Jackson in charge. But ultimately, I could just say the kind of player that the Clippers need, they still could use a perimeter, a small forward who can defend and shoot well. They could use a backup point guard, especially if they don't have Collison back. And they could use another big player to replace Glenn Davis, someone who's taller, a hybrid between Glenn Davis and Ryan Hollins, perhaps a center who's got good size, who can play some defense. So it's hard to say specifically at this point. This is more of a discussion after the draft and after the initial wave of free agency. Then we could start to piece together what the Clippers' options are.
What about Kevin Garnett? He was supposed to be a part of the Clippers before the gag order took place. Now he's stuck with Brooklyn. Do you see Garnett playing the rest of his career out in Brooklyn? Could he do a buyout? I believe his contract is almost up.
No, I mean, he's owed $15.7 million for next year. He has a player option the year after for $16.7 million. There's no team in the... I'm sorry, I'm looking at Brooke Lopez. My bad. Kevin Garnett has $12 million. He has exactly $12 million left. So if he takes a buyout, let's say he gives back half. I don't see the Nets paying him $6 million to go away just to pay him $6 million, just to save $6 million. This doesn't add up. I know, yeah, you could say, well, they would save a ton of luxury tax. I don't think the Nets care about luxury tax. It just seems a long shot that they would buy him out. But, you know, anything is possible in the NBA, and I am surprised at times. I don't see a trade between the two teams. I don't see how that would work. I don't see what the Clippers rather have to offer for someone like Kevin Garnett. They're certainly not going to do DeAndre Jordan, and I don't see Jared Dudley being appealing to the Nets. So if there's no buyout and there's no trade, then no, I don't see it happening. And so now you start talking about the year after. I would imagine that Garnett might be retiring after this contract's done. So I don't necessarily see that path, but I do know that if he is bought out with his relationship to Doc Rivers, I know Kevin has had a home in Malibu for some time, that I'm sure if he does hit the free agent market this next summer, over the summer, that he would certainly have interest in playing for Doc Rivers. And it's a real possibility if somehow he became free. I just don't see how that ends up happening.
This concludes the Eric Pincus Report. Thanks for stopping by. Give my regards to Larry Kuhn, CBA salary cap man. Where can they check you out on the web?
I'm at the LA Times doing the Lakers blog, the Lakers Now blog. I'm at basketballinsiders.com, and I'm on Twitter at ERICPINCUS. Thank you.
You know the drill.
Whammy Radio.
It's me and captain of the Twitter army, Woobleo Balls, going over possible playoff opponents for your Los Angeles Clippers. See you then.